If commitment to marriage is a building block to help our children learn the concept of commitment, then we need to know how to put those blocks up into the wall.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we have a special guest this week, Rosemary Barnes, with us, and sort of the other side of the Barnes marriage.
The smart side of the Barnes marriage.
We've been talking about commitment, though, the impact it has on your kids when you're going through hard times in your marriage. How do you show commitment to your kids, and why is it so hard? And how do you get there?
Let me first respond to something you said that was very cool. I got to open up the school year for a school district this year by speaking to all the middle school teachers of that particular school district. And they'd give me a series of questions. And one of the questions was, do you think that today's child is different from 10 years ago? And thinking about it and responding to it and then getting them to respond to what I said, you know, it was just a few hundred people so we could actually dialogue. And I said, one of the difficulties we're facing in today's middle school child is they've never seen anybody committed to them. They've grown up in a non-committal performance environment. They're human doings rather than human beings. And so what happens is they come to school, these little islands come to school, and they're very hard to herd up and they're very hard to motivate because their parents are either so busy or they don't see their parents taking care of each other. They don't see their parents committed to each other. Though my children might complain when we get a babysitter and they knew we were each going out to eat, just the two of us as a date, they learned we're committed to each other. Though annually we would take our second honeymoon and go someplace for a weekend and have somebody take care of them. Though they wanted to go and they'd whine that they didn't get to go too, they learned that we are committed to working on our marriage. I think our children need to see that. And then I think we need to do whatever it takes, whatever the building blocks are, to build up this marriage commitment wall, because my children are safe inside it.
You think commitment's a decision, and when you say I do, you're committed.
Right.
That's it. Right. But then it's a daily decision, and several times during the day when things happen, you got to vow for peace, you got to work out certain issues. That's what commitment, it's really more of a journey or a process than it is just a decision.
It's more of an I will than I do. The I do is something you say, okay, I do. I do. It's an I will. I will do this.
Yeah. And I think it's very, very important, and it's a great thing to illustrate in front of the children and even talk to them. I know that we talked to our kids as they were growing up about how it's not easy to live with somebody that's very different from you. There are going to be conflicts. They're going to be, you know, Dad, I leave my shoes. I grew up in Japan. That's my excuse. I leave my shoes when I walk in the door.
Such a lame excuse for leaving your shoes at the front.
Dad, you really have it hard, Dr. Bob. I mean, really.
Yeah, that is kind of a silly little example. But Dad,
it's irritating, though. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey,
I'll stop.
And he also interrupts you, Mom, all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, he's a very orderly person. Mom is not. Mom's kind of up for grabs. And so we are, you know, we've had to work through and choose to love each other anyway. It's a reality of life that you're not going to have smooth sailing in any relationship. And they've got to see that lived out in front of them and to discuss it with them. Well, how do you do that then? What do you do? Does Dad ever make you mad, Mom? Well, yes, just like I make him mad. But we love each other, and so we're going to choose to work through the conflict.
And I think some of the marriages that children get to see work through the really, really, really devastating conflicts when they both come out the other end are life-changing for those children. I have known adult children that have talked about their parents getting divorced and then remarried, and just an unbelievable, I watched my mom get through this, or I watched my dad get through this. It's really for our children to see a daily choice, making a daily choice to persevere. It isn't just I do, it is I will. And one of the building blocks is a daily choice. I will persevere. I will persevere. I will pursue in this marriage, and I will choose to persevere and never quit, never quit, never quit. It's, you know, it's Winston Churchill. Never quit. It's a movie that you're too young to even know. Not a movie, a reality that became a movie. It was when the Olympic hockey team beat Russia. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No idea.
That's awesome. The Soviet Union. It was the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union was a professional team in the Olympics. It was their professional team. It was our boys. It was back before pros were allowed to play. And our boys had no hope in the semifinals. And our boys won it. And it came down to the last second, and all of America wept. And that goalie that got draped in a flag, American flag, skating around and around. Do you remember even watching that, Rosemary?
I did.
I remember just weeping. We couldn't have won. But they talked about afterwards, the coach talked about, we never quit. We just never quit. Yeah. When it looked hopeless, when we were gasping for air, we never quit. Mm-hmm. Our children get to see us never quit, never quit, never quit. And through the big things and even the little funny, little irritating mm-hmm. things, never quitting.
But I've heard even stories of some women say, yeah, but my marriage was just, I mean, do I want my kids to see me fighting all the time? Because mm-hmm. it's just misery for mm-hmm. us to be together. Mm-hmm. So then how can I be committed to something that's also making their lives miserable? Or some mm-hmm. who have divorces, you know what? My daughter says, at least I'm not fighting as much anymore. Mm-hmm. You're nicer, mom. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, how do you deal with that then? Because you wanted to be committed. It didn't right. work out that way.
Well, I think, unfortunately, many, many couples, and, you know, divorce is a reality. Mm-hmm. And there are times when things can't be fixed. And there are times where only one wants to fix it. And there are times where the other has hung in for so long and there's just been overt sin over and over and over, over whatever. But there are times when other couples just get in a habit of arguing. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly arguing. They're constantly bickering. I had that couple in my office today. And I said, wow, you guys sit down and you just get in a – is this a habit? How long has this been? 18 years. 18 years of arguing. When is one of you going to say I refuse to argue? Mm-hmm. That's what Rosemary did in our marriage. I will not argue with you about this. Let's just table it right. No, I don't want to table it right. Let's just table it right now and let's pick it up again tomorrow evening because we've got to come to some resolve here. Mm-hmm. And so my children, and they were too young to watch this because of the life change for me. Actually, this is the saddest statement. The life change for me began in three different incidents. One was thinking I was going to lose Rosemary in the hospital, but the other was walking out doing a taping with James Dobson and him making a statement, Bob, take care of your marriage. And I don't know why that just whacked me out. I walked out first thing, what did he see? What did he see? I thought I was on perfect behavior there. And we went for a drive in a car out there right after the tapings and realized, wow, I've been such an idiot. I've been such a hypocrite. And you have refused to fight, Rosemary, and you were just committed. But she wasn't committed to Bob. She was committed to the marriage. She was committed to God, committed to the marriage, and Bob was in the marriage. And so I think there was the daily choice of persevering, persevering, persevering. Now, it doesn't mean she was a doormat. She confronted issues, and she said, can we talk about that? And she'd learn how to talk about it early on by giving me notes in the morning. Can we talk about this tonight? It would just irritate me going out the door with that note. But over a period, I'm sorry that you're sitting here laughing at me, Ruthie, when I'm just trying to share my heart here and getting brutalized by two women in the room.
Well, you said that there's sometimes when divorce happens and it's a reality of life. But I think if we could get the mindset that apart from very unique situations and sometimes it hurt that cannot be, you know, that's insurmountable or that kind of thing. But if we could get the mindset that in most cases, there are no conflicts that are unsolvable. That if we are prayerful and we get godly prayer warriors to pray with us, to remember that God is in the business of doing miracles. He loves to do miracles. He loves to step in and, you know, have the walls of Jericho fall down. Those stories are in the Bible, not only because they're true, but to teach you a lesson that God is able. And I think that we get so wimpy in our lives and we give up so quickly that we forget the fact that God wants marriages to thrive. And so with that strength of knowing that with his help, except for certain extenuating circumstances, that God will help us to resolve those conflicts.
I think, unfortunately, we go to the checklist in the Bible and say this is a divorce offense. There's a permission there, but there's not a mandate there. Mm-hmm. And there are some, yes, there are probably three separate areas in the Bible that talk about divorce and according to God's word. And when a marriage and divorce occurred prior to salvation, there's forgiveness there. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 Corinthians says, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Right.
And there is forgiveness. I think when one is guilty of sexual immorality and unwilling to repent, unwilling to move on, unwilling to stop that. Matthew 19:9. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. But it's not previous marital, and it's an ongoing. And unfortunately, sometimes when some people are just waiting and now she's had an affair, so now I can divorce her rather than see, is this uprooting of this devastation? Can this make us even better? And I've seen it make it better. Mm-hmm. It's not a mandate to get a divorce. It's mm-hmm. a permission, but it's a permission if that other person is not, this should have broken them, and they're not repenting and turning. And I think the other one is in 1 Corinthians 7:15, an abandonment by a non-believer. I think those are the times, but unfortunately, we sit here and wonder, okay, do I have to commit anymore? He's done this, this, and this.
Haven't I done enough?
Yes. Rather than, okay, Lord, I'm committed to the relationship. I'm having problems with the person, but I'm committed to you and the relationship and the choice to persevere. And I also think this, well, 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 says this, are you married? Don't seek to be released. Don't seek to be released. I need to trust that God knows what he's doing. You know, Rosemary's mom's had a stroke and she's going in for physical therapy. And physical therapy is not fun. It's not fun. It's painful. And when you go in there and they're working your leg and working your arm and it's extremely painful to stretch that muscle that's just tightened up and do that, you have to reach a point where you trust that the physical therapist knows what they're doing or you're walking out. I'm done with this. You're a pain ogre. Why would I do this anymore? And I think it's the same with God. I need to trust that he knows what he's doing because I really do believe that marriage is the ultimate graduate school. We have these lives and you get into marriage and unfortunately you watch a lot of movies. I think it's more helpful, and I'm not wishing for this ever, but I think it was more helpful when marriages were arranged. You went in with no illusion. I think it'd even be more helpful if marriage was arranged. You didn't even get to see each other till the wedding.
Right.
And
Yikes.
Well, I don't want to do that because I think that my parents would have gotten even with me for all I put them through in high school.
Yeah.
Yes, done. But it's the story of that little girl from India who's getting married. And I love this story. She's getting married and she's never even seen him. He's from another village. And he starts trying to send her letters to get this love relationship going. Mm-hmm. And she sends him a letter back and says, you don't need to worry. You don't need to send me letters. I've already chosen to love you.
Wow.
Selection played no part. I didn't get to select my brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I didn't get to select my parents. I love them. I've already chosen to love you. I think it's not this mystique we have with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty is if you do the work and you get through the difficulties and you get through the horrible stuff, then you do fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
People that get married at the altar, they think they're in love.
Yeah.
But marriage comes years later when you've done the work.
Boy, haven't we seen that over and over again in couples' lives who have said, you know, it was horrible, but we worked and chose that we were going to fight for this, and then they were able to find that romantic stuff that we see in the movies.
Right.
We've seen it over and over again in people's lives.
It almost takes sort of that resolve. This marriage will work.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Or
yes.
My dead body will,
yeah,
you know, this
exactly.
Breakup, and we're going to work hard at it, and
right.
I'm here, and I'm committed to this,
right.
And my kids are going to see it, my family's going to see it, I'm going to see it, because this is a dead end here. It's going to keep...
And how many times have I heard people say, my mom's strength during my dad's difficulty is where I saw Christ in action.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at church, not in Sunday school. I knew my mom was on her knees. I saw her take him back. I saw them do the work. I saw her, several times. I saw her throw him out, and he did this, this, and this, and started to come back and basically earned his way back. And my mom took him back in, and she took him back in as if he was totally forgiven. And even we were angry at him, and she wasn't. And even she gave us lectures, and even she prayed with us. And I learned what God can do by watching my mom.
And this sounds very churchy, perhaps, but I think it's a really neat thing to keep in our mind that why are we here on this earth anyway? We're not here for my happiness or even our children's, even though we're talking about training them. Ultimately, we're here when we get to heaven someday and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to hear. And we know that he chooses for us to be hang in there, persevere in difficult relationships because that's what he wants. So I need to play the game for him, not anybody else, particularly not for me, but for him.
All the greats in the Bible went through great adventure to get there. And they all went through difficulty. Little Joseph on through Moses, they all went through hard times as part of their honing to make them the awesome people they're supposed to be. All of a sudden, we arrive, and when we arrive in this marriage relationship, and we think it's supposed to do so much for us, and it gets difficult, and we didn't realize this God's graduate school is going to be this hard. And so we take vows that we don't believe. We've got to decide that this is one of God's ways of raising us up, because all things really, really, really do work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We've got to hang in. That's what commitment is. Commitment to the marriage when it's difficult to commit to the person.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want some more resources on marriage, maybe to help yourself out, even on parenting, how your marriage impacts your parenting, you can find them on Sheridan House Family Ministries website at shfm.org. To hear this program again, you can connect to it through Facebook, Twitter, Even sign up for the daily email blog that's on the website parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.